Good morning. It is good to be here with you this morning. Once again, I always enjoy it when I have that opportunity to come here, as well as the other congregations that I visit throughout the southern region of the conference, although Glennon Heights, we pulled into the southern region for my role in conference ministry work. I'm reminded when I am here and stand here also of the year that Vanita and I spent attending Glennon Heights. I was doing an internship while in seminary, and a few of you I remember. It's been about 40 years ago, so you looked a little different then, but I imagine I did too. This being Father's Day, I'd like to begin with just a couple of memories of my father, who passed away now over 15 years ago at the age of 84. He was a man of deep faith, of passionate service, and had a tremendous sense of humor. One of my earliest memories, I think I was about 5 years old, is of accompanying my dad to go feed the chickens on the farm. It was a little wooden structure that held maybe around 100 chickens. And he carried a 5-gallon bucket full of feed to go put in the feed boxes that he had made to feed the chickens. And I carried my little one-quart bucket with feed to help him feed the chickens. A much later memory, when I was around 35 years old, home visiting, and I remember going again to the chicken house with my dad. Now, this building was a large metal building. It was as long as a football field and about half as wide. It had 25,000 laying hens, not just 100 pullets. It had an automatic feeder that would feed the chickens in the troughs all the way around the building. He had increased his knowledge of how to take care of chickens and how to grow chickens, and his practices had changed over the years, but his basic focus was still the same: to raise chickens that were healthy, that could lay eggs, that could feed people, and in the later years also provide work and income for folks who assisted in taking care of those. Between those two events, he had spent considerable time reading articles and magazines and going to seminars and conferences about what it is to raise chickens. He had increased his knowledge and his understanding. He'd also developed relationships with other people who shared that interest and that work, and it had stimulated his own understanding and his awareness and his desire to continue to be as good as he could, the best he could in that. He had also spent some years in Puerto Rico teaching people how to raise chickens. He had a little 4x8 caged wire thing, and he would help give some chickens to those folks and help them learn to take care of them, how to feed them as necessary and get eggs from them that could either be eaten or sold, as well as selling sometimes some of the chickens and having them for meat. And I wonder what would have happened had he stayed parked in that little wooden chicken house with about 100 chickens. Had he just hung it up right there, and that's how it would just stay. There would have been so much richness and so much good and so much assistance and help to others that would never have happened. We understand the need to change and grow in our vocational endeavors. But too often in our spiritual lives and in our communities of faith, we seem to prefer putting it in park. Just put it in park. When I was 16 years old, my parents gave me a book entitled Don't Park Here, and I've used that for the title this morning. It was a book written by Paul Erb. I don't remember hardly anything that was in that book, But that title has stuck with me over the years, and it has prodded me again and again to keep growing, to keep changing in my faith journey, and to accept the changes and the growth that happen in us as a community of faith when God leads us to a different place, when the cloud moves that we can follow, and when the cloud rests, we rest, and we incorporate what we have learned and what God is teaching us. And that idea of not parking here has been a significant one for me in my spiritual journey. I believe it's God's intention for God's people, both personally as individuals, but also corporately in our communities of faith, that there is movement, that there is dynamic, ongoing growth in knowledge and experience and understanding and practice. Because of the alternative is stagnation and irrelevance, decline, or entropy, as it's sometimes called in scientific terms. We sometimes, and I'm guilty of this at times as well, we lament the changes around us, the changes in the church, in the way we think, and we think that, well, you know, God doesn't change. Isn't that what the Bible says? God doesn't change. In Malachi, it says something like that, and in James, it says every good gift comes from God, the Father of light, in whom there is no shifting like the shadows. So if God doesn't change, why should we be changing, especially that things and that's actions and those practices related to faith? But the fact is God has always been calling God's people to growth, to movement, to becoming what we are not yet. Scripture portrays God as unchanging in God's character, but it makes it pretty clear that God's people are to be in the process of growth. And by growth by definition is change. Whenever there is growth, something is changing. Growth by definition is change. And the Bible uses the word transformation also to help us figured out what that would be like. A quick excursion of the biblical story, the history of God's people, shows us that this call to grow and change is a consistent part of God's purposes, of God's plans. Starting, say, in the Hebrew scriptures with Noah. Noah was aware of God's presence. It says he was living a faithful life, but God says, don't park here. Build a boat. And in God's purposes, Noah is set down on Mount Ararat, hundreds of miles away. Abraham and Sarah, they're growing in their understanding of God and God's ways, but God says, don't park here. And they leave Ur, and in God's purposes, they set out for an unknown territory. Joseph, things are going okay as Dad's favorite. And then God says, don't park here. And he gets shipped off to Egypt. In Genesis 50, later, he expresses that what he experienced was used by God to fulfill God's purposes in his life. Moses was quite content herding sheep. He had spent time in other places, but now he was content herding sheep. And God says, don't park here. And the burning bush sends him in God's purposes back to Egypt. The children of Israel, in the story that was read this morning in Numbers chapter 9, they would move when the cloud moved. They stayed put, but only for a time. Sometimes it said a day. Sometimes it said as long as a year or more. And so there are those times when we are parked briefly to consolidate, perhaps, the things that we're learning and what God is teaching us. But that's not where we stay parked. That's where we rest a bit and ponder and think and learn about what we've experienced and where God wants us in God's purposes. In the New Testament, we find the same thing happening. For 400 years, God's people had been content to live out their laws and traditions, it seems. And God says, don't park here. And Messiah comes and indicates that God's purposes was for God's people to move beyond law and tradition to grace and spirit. Peter, up on the sermon on the Mount of Transfiguration, he's so taken up with seeing Moses and Elijah there and hearing the voice of God, he wants to build tents and park there and stay there and let's just be here. And Jesus says, no, don't park here, and takes them back down the mountain where God's purposes now include clearly to them touching the pain and brokenness of the world. The disciples at Pentecost are in the upper room, and they're enjoying this thing that God was doing, enjoying the favor of the people, it tells us, adding to their number daily those who were being saved. That sounds good enough, doesn't it? But God says, don't park here. And because of persecution, they are scattered. And they find that that is used of God to fulfill the purposes of God in taking the gospel, the good news, around the world wherever they went. Paul and Barnabas make this first little journey through Cyprus and Lower Asia Minor, and they're making plans for a second journey to go back and visit these churches again in that little circle. But God says, don't park here. They had a disagreement. Oh, yeah, God uses our disagreements sometimes. God's capable of that. God doesn't want us to do that, but God's capable of using it anyway. They have a disagreement, and God used it to extend the gospel even more broadly throughout all Asia Minor, over to Greece, and eventually all the way to Rome. Throughout the history of the church, that has been what God is doing. Pentecost, after Pentecost and after the ascension, the persecution that happened in those first three centuries moved believers all throughout the world. The renewal movements that have taken place throughout the story, throughout the centuries, it prods God's people to get off the park bench and to move on. The Reformation, the modern missionary movement, the recent renewal movements, and the what some people call the progressive movement in our day, and that some people are calling the New Reformation. All along the way, God consistently says, don't park here. I'm up to new things. I'm up to bringing freshness. It's no different for us, I believe, today, as individuals, as a congregation, as a conference. To be faithful means to move as God leads and sends. And moving and changing and growing can be uncomfortable, can be difficult. It involves change, not just for change's sake, but change in response to what God plans, what God wants to do to meet the needs of the world that God loves. A world that is always changing. And therefore, God calls us to adapt and change so that we meet the needs of that changing world that God loves. Paul says it this way on a personal level, Philippians chapter 3. I've not been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I don't consider myself to have already taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then he makes this very interesting statement, I think. He says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. That strikes me. Usually we think of being mature as knowing what we're about, having it nailed down, having everything in the proper place. Paul says those of us who are mature would realize we've got a lot to learn. There are things perhaps that we haven't yet understood that we need to comprehend. There are ways of doing things that may become more effective in God's purposes than the ways we are currently doing it. Those of us who are mature, Paul says, takes that view. And then he adds yet another line that I think is interesting. And if on some point you think differently, then argue for it. No. He says, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. If you're growing and changing, those differences become more clear as we together discern what God is calling us to in the journey together. I'm convinced of this. I wasn't always. When I was 18, I had eschatology all figured out. I knew what was going to happen when, and I could tell you all the scripture passages as to just what proved it. It proved it, and I knew it. No. To be faithful to God's call to us as followers of Jesus and as the Church of Jesus Christ always means being engaged in prayerful, thoughtful, joyous change. It's informed by the past, but it looks at the present and looks at the future and seeks the Spirit's guidance to enable us to shift out of park into drive. And so we engage with God in the world of today. Both Glennon Heights and the Mountain States Conference has a significant past. Much good has been done. Much good is being done. God has been at work. You as God's people, we together as God's people, have been faithful. But we can't park. Parking there in that past, parking here in this present is not what God calls us to as people, as individuals, as communities of faith, as a conference of churches. For example, one of the things we're working on is to slowly expand the intercultural nature of our communities. And that's going to be one of the central focus pieces of our assembly coming up at Boulder in August. I believe God desires to continue to be at work here at Glennon Heights, in our conference, in you, for a significant future. I believe God continues to say, don't park here. Move along with me. I want to invite you to participate in what I'm doing. It's a long journey. It's a long journey. Let's continue to take it together in 2019 and beyond. Let's pray. Our God, we trust in you. We trust in you because you are always loving. You are always gracious. You are always desiring to connect with us. You are always inviting us to participate in your work. We thank you for that privilege. We thank you for that responsibility. Help us, O Lord, to always also see the ways that draws us into growth and change and freshness. Thank you, Lord, that you give us those spaces of rest as well. But we're so grateful that you don't let us just park. Continue to use us, Lord, in your work, in your kingdom. Help us together to journey as you lead us by your Spirit. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.